Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Warden. My guest today is Peter Heilbronn. Peter's winery is called Tenuta Bellafonte, and it's in the Montefalco region of Umbria in central Italy. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
Obvious question. Heilbronn is the name of a town in Germany. Are you from Germany?
Well, this is a good question because my family has German origin. They do not belong from the city of Heilbronn, but from another city that is called Pforzheim. But I grew up in Italy, not in Umbria, but in northern Italy, in Milano.
Okay, how did you end up in Umbria with the winery?
Well, after a long career in the food and beverage industry, I decided to set up my own business. I was a wine lover, but at a certain point I decided to jump on the other side of the glass and to start producing wine. The reason why I chose Umbria, I knew Umbria, I knew Sagrantino, and I strongly believed that we could do something more elegant, refined out of this fantastic grape.
So when you said you had experience of Sagrantino before, was this on business trips? You would order a bottle of Sagrantino? How did you get to know the wine before you became a wine grower here?
I've been working in Umbria because it was in the chocolate business, and I've been in charge of Perugina. You probably know the Bacci.
And it's a very famous brand of
very famous brand of chocolate. And for that reason, I lived in Umbria for a couple of years. And being a good wine drinker, I had the occasion to drink some or more bottle of Sagrantino.
So when you were doing that, drinking the wines, how were the wines style? Were they modernist then, or were they very traditional, very tannic, very dry, very tough?
What I point out, compared with my preferred wine, I don't say in absolute term, but for my taste, I find them too traditional, too concentrated, far from what I really, for the kind of wine that I really love.
So a little bit heavy, a bit over-extracted.
Too heavy, too over-extracted.
That's difficult
to drink. Too much wood, too much everything.
So when you came here, how did you choose the vineyard you ended up buying?
I had the occasion to visit different areas here in the region, and it ended up that I find a quite isolated place with some vineyards in place in the hill with very good exposition and everything. And this was a starting point, but from this start, then we develop other vineyards and we build up our winery completely under soil and at a very low energy consumption that could self-sustain from an energetic point of view with all these kind of things that I believe were important.
Were you one of the first to do that in this region, energy-efficient winery?
Probably not one of the first. For sure, one of the first that make all the winery out of this concept in terms of efficiency and self-sustained energy winery.
Are you getting any geothermal energy or not? Or is it just underground gravity?
No, geothermic here is not a good choice because you don't have water. You just have very thick soil, so it doesn't work very well. So we choose biomass heaters. So we burn the part of the wood that we produce. And solar energy. We are in center Italy, so sun is quite good, and we have many days of sunny. So with those two power supplier, we build up our winery, and the fact that all the production area is under soil means also that we need very little energy coming from the outside.
Very little air conditioning and cooling. And
we don't have air conditioning because the winery is under soil and has a continuous exchange with external soil because there is no separation. So it rains into the winery and there is the climate is done naturally, so we don't need any air conditioning.
Have other people copied you here then, having seen your success with your winery in terms of energy efficiency? Because there has been a bit of a boom here with people coming into the region and taking over vineyards and maybe not always having their own winery.
Probably the more recent, yes. What is interesting is, and I don't know if it's only due to my activity and my choices, but is that all the Sagrantinos, most of the Sagrantino, are moving to a more, let's say, modern style, and this is important to make this wine a little more popular around the world.
So when you say modern style, you mean styling of the wine?
I mean the wine, yes.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that?
I mean that moving from a over-extracted, very traditional wine to something that is more modern, more approachable, with more perfumes, a better balance of acidity, the tannins better handled. We do that in a very simple way because we just use our grapes and no other help. Let's say that. We ferment entire berries, so we don't press the berries.
So whole berries?
All berries, yes. So we don't press it, so we don't extract from the seeds that contain a lot of green tannins. We don't extract mechanically from the skin. We have a carbonic maceration.
So Beaujolais style, you could say. Whole berry fermentation, intracellular fermentation.
And then we use only large cask for a period that is a year longer than what is the minimum required by the consortium. Because in large cask, you need more time. But at the end, you have a wine that has less tannins from the wood and just a port from the grapes.
So when you say large wood, are you talking about large oak vats or large barrels, botti, 500 litres?
Large oak vats, we are talking about 50 hectolitres vats.
So right, so that's 6,000 bottles worth.
6,000 bottles, exactly. So they are very large, but they are very, very good for the kind of wine that we look for.
It's quite Burgundian, quite like Burgundy, with whole berries and minimising. I think it's very interesting what you're saying about minimising extraction from the pips, because that seems to be a bit of a no-brainer for me, and I'm surprised I haven't heard more people talking about that. And then with the larger oak, there's no real risk that you're going to make a wine that's too oaky. There's less risk of oxidation, losing the fruit. You've got a real logic, a real plan to what you've been doing, right?
That's right. I've been planning it for many years, drinking a lot of different bottles, making my own idea, visiting different wineries. So when I came here, I had all the project in my mind. So I had very little help from professional and so on. I had my idea of a winery, how I wanted it.
Isn't that often the best thing, that somebody has their, rather than relying on a consultant, that somebody has their own plan? Otherwise everything just becomes like derivative, doesn't it? It's the same old.
Exactly the problem. Today, I think that there are a lot of good wines, but what is important from my point of view is to have some wines that express a specific personality, and this may come only from the mind of a single person. Then it's right or wrong. This has to be judged from people that buy the bottles. But I also didn't visit many winery here in the area because I just not wanted to be too much influenced by that. I want to follow my plan. I had the help of an enologist, because even if I have an agricultural degree and I studied a lot, I couldn't know everything. So I have a good friend that is Beppe Caviola, that is a good enologist from Piemonte, that follow me in this project and help me in setting it in the right way. Reducing the mistakes.
Interesting that you're talking about Piemonte, because you think about Nebbiolo, which can be an ethereal wine, and it can be the toughest, hardest, most bitter red wine that you can possibly find on the planet virtually. And with Sagrantino, it's a very tannic grape variety. So it's interesting that you've got that sort of influence from Piemonte to try and soften and brighten, if you'd like, the Sagrantino.
Yes, Piemonte has a very long experience in handling a very tannic grape. As you say, also handling Nebbiolo is very difficult, but they have been able to make a fantastic wine, very elegant and very refined. So I thought that was from there that we had to pick the right points to set my business in Umbria right.
What makes you happiest? Are you happiest when you're in the winery and in the vineyard, or you're happiest doing what your previous career was, selling?
The answer is easy.
Selling.
I like very much being in my winery and in the vineyards, but I also find very interesting and very pleasant to be with the people that then drink the wine, has to sell it, because it gives me a lot of feedback on how the wine is and how the, is the perception. And it's very nice to talk about something that you just don't have to sell, but that is part of yourself.
What's the nicest thing, if you're out selling and somebody tastes your wine for the first time, they say, oh, that's, what's the nicest thing they can say?
Two things. First, it's different from my idea of Sagrantino. And second, I like the perfume, because for me, the nose is one of the most important part of the drinking wine.
So what aromas do we normally get from Sagrantino?
A lot of fruit, a lot of nice and richness. Sometimes you have also some herbs. And if you get used to drink and to taste Sagrantino, you will find most of other grapes less rich and less interesting than Sagrantino. So it's a very, very nice grape.
So traditionally, if we think of a traditional Sagrantino, say an old, slightly old-fashioned one, a little bit tannic, obviously a lot of fruit as well, the perception is you to have a big steak with that. What wines, with a wine from your winery, what are we going to, what would we have with that? Would we have a little piece of lettuce or something like that because they're so delicate, or would we actually have a proper piece of food?
Is it still a Sagrantino, but I may say that you don't have to eat heavy meat to have pleasure drinking my wine. You also may have a nice pasta with ragù or lasagne, because it has enough acidity to support also tomato-based dishes.
And the cheese as well.
Cheese, for sure.
Okay. So let's go through some of your wines. Let's start with the white ones first. You make a wine called Arnetto, which is a Trebbiano Spoletino, is that right?
That's right. By the way, we make only two wines, a red and a white, so...
That's easy. Right, we can go ahead.
Arnetto is a Spoletino. Trebbiano is a misleading word because it's a family that is not a family, that put together grapes that has nothing to do one with the other.
Do you think they'll change the name? Has it been changed already? Is it just going to be called Spoletino? It would make life a lot easier.
I would fight for that. It's not easy because there is a lot of rules for changing the name of a grape, but honestly, it would be much more clear. Trebbiano was the generic name for the white wine of the country. So it put together grapes that has nothing to do one with the other. Our Umbrian Spoletino is a fantastic grape with a great potential in terms of flavors, in terms of longevity. Is really fantastic, and that's the reason why I decided to make a white wine that was not in my initial plan. Arnetto means in the local dialect reborn, and the reason of this name is that 15 years ago this variety was nearly disappeared, only a few plants left, and then due to some producer, it come back, and today we are rediscovering this variety.
So is that just made in stainless steel?
No, it's made only in my large cask, 50 hectoliters.
How did I guess?
And so the wood is just a
container. It's container. Not adding the actual oak.
It's not adding much. It's just a way to ferment it naturally in the wood to have malolactic done, because we do not filter our wines at all. So malolactic is done, and then we leave on the lees for another 3-4 months before decanting it and bottling it.
How does the taste of the Arnetto, the Spoletino wine, change over time? When it's just bottled, how does it taste, the texture, the flavor, and after, say, 5 or 6 or 7 years?
Well, the taste just bottled need at the starting 4 or 5 months before having it ready for drinking, and is a good balance of persistency, of freshness, and some fresh flavors. And after some years, you have an evolution that moves to more minerality and very interesting and very refined taste.
Flavors? Fruit, white fruit?
Yes.
Okay, you're like me. You're not great on giving fruits to names to. I'm terrible at that. People say, oh.
That's right. That's why I'm yeah. What I like in Arnetto is that you have a very easy and creamy starting.
That's savory.
And then it opened up with a lot of persistency and very nice and rich flavors. So it's a complete wine. And what we try to avoid is to have a heavy white, because I think that white in any case has to maintain a certain interesting lightness, even if you want to have a real wine.
See, that your Arnetto sounds like a wine where you have a glass or half a glass of it. It's like a meal in itself. You don't actually need any food with that.
Oh, the food is always very good here with the white meat, with light cheese, cooked fish is very good.
Now tell me about your Montefalco Sagrantino. Is called Collinottolo.
Yes, Collinottoli is the name of the hill where we are, and due to the fact that the vineyards are around the winery, the name makes a lot of sense because it represents where we are. It's a Sagantino 100%, and as we were talking before, is done with a very simple procedures, hand-picked, distemmed but not pressed, a spontaneous fermentation with the yeast of our grape, and after that we just decant it and for a couple of months, and then we put in the large cask at least for 3 years before bottling it without filtering. So that's it, without any addition or filtering or whatever may alterate the essence of the wine and the vitality of the wine.
So when you started your winery and you had to get staff to work in the vineyard and in the winery, did you choose young people that had no preconception because you have some quite different ideas to the norm, or did you hire old, wizened, bearded men?
I'm stuck in the
50s.
I take your point. I take young people without any prejudice on how things has to be done. And I've been working now a little less because I'm moving a little more on the commercial side. But at the beginning, I was really involved in every single step in the winery. Today, I have Luca, that is a fantastic guy, young, that helped me and know perfectly how things has to be done and how we decide to do that. So I may trust a lot.
What are your most important export markets?
We have, let's say, two biggest export market. One is United States and the other is Switzerland. Both like our wines, the red and also the white. That is more recent, so it's still in development because it's only 3 years that we produce it.
A young guy like you, what does the future hold? Any more developments can we see in your winery?
Well, every year we tend to make some trials, something different, trying to improve, because even if our wine has a very good rating and very good reviews, you always have to think to improve. What is sure, even if I don't have a new wine in portfolio, is that it will be a wine with a reason to exist. So it must have a project behind and not just to make a range of products.
Do you think you'd plant another native grape variety? You wouldn't plant an international one, though, would you?
No, for sure there will be no international variety in our plants. It will be other native variety like Sangiovese or other.
You got an idea, haven't you? You got a plan.
White, no, I don't like very much Grechetto, but it's my point. So for the white, I think that Spolitino is the best. On the red, there are some interesting local grapes that may give interesting wines.
Great, okay. All right, we'll have to get you back when you've planted them.
Sure, I will be.
So I want to say thanks very much to Peter Heilbronn for coming in today talking about Tenuta Bellafonte. It's always good to talk to someone that has got a winery but had a real plan before doing anything, and it makes such a difference. I think it makes a difference environmentally, it makes a difference economically, it makes a difference in terms of wine quality, it probably makes a difference to your blood pressure as well.
Absolutely. Quality of life,
eh? Yeah, and you can and it's also easier for the staff when you go away. It's like you've created a system that's really easy to work in.
Yes, for sure.
If you want to hire me as your PR guy, I'm great.
Good. Yeah, I'm so waiting for you. Thank you very much.
It's been a real pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to coming and seeing your winery and meeting Good. Sabrina, who is your wife.
Good, thank you very much. We're waiting for you.
Very kind, thanks for coming in.
And everybody that would like to come to visit our winery.
Yeah, it looks beautiful on the little diplion that you've given me.
Good.
Very smart. No, I also see the solar panels.
A nice landscape around, so it's very nice. And we taste the wine from the barrel, and it's very interesting, to come and visit us.
Yeah, I'd love to try some of the wine from Wooden Vat, actually, to see how the whole, the fact that you're not extracting anything from the pips.
No, and also the fact that we don't make any blend or whatever. This is exactly the wine that a couple of years later you will have in the bottle. So it's interesting to see the evolution of the wine in the cask.
Yeah, it's easy when you do vertical tasting as well, because everything is the same. This is always the same. One grape in this one grape in the red wine, one grape in the white wine. Really easy. And you can track the evolution.
Exactly.
Just want to say thanks very much to my guest today, Peter Heilbronn of Tenuta Bellafonte in Montefalco.
Thank you to you.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.